This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 23rd, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, hearings are scheduled to discuss the implication of a 35-billion-gallon RFS. By the way, President Bush, who first outlined this plan, is starting to give some details. He says 15 billion of the 35 is expected to come from corn. In other news, the American Corn Growers Association, not to be confused with the NCGA, has filed an antitrust lawsuit against Monsanto. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly. And then I'll follow up from our discussion of the soybean market yesterday with Darrell Good. Yesterday, he told us the supply of soybeans had and is likely to continue to outstrip demand. Today, we'll hear his marketing advice. It all happens right here on AM 580's Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Taking a look on this Friday afternoon at the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. March wheat at 484 and a quarter, down 5 and a quarter this afternoon. May futures down 3.5 cents in the wheat pit. From the corn pit, the nearby March contract down 4 and a quarter at 430 and a quarter. May contract settled at nickel lower, 442 and a half. And July futures at $4.52 were down 5 cents. September's at 435 and a half were down 5 and a quarter. December corn futures, new crop at $4.20 and 3 quarters, down 7 cents for the day. March soybeans, 778 and a quarter, down 5 and a half. The May futures at 794. They finished 6 and a half lower. And July down 6 and a quarter at 809. And their settlement price for the July down 6 and a quarter. November beans at 830 and 3 quarters, down 7 cents. March bean meal futures off $2.50 at 228.90. And the March bean oil at 30.39, up 7 on the afternoon. Feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange for a Friday at $99.32 and a half, settlement price a dime higher. February's at $94.17 and a half in the live cattle pit, up 70 cents. And the April futures there were down a nickel at $96.17 and a half. Lean hogs April contract $66.75. They finished 27 and a half lower. The outside markets, crude oil up 15 cents at this hour. Last trade at $61.10 a barrel. The U.S. dollar at 84.06 is down 0.28. The CRB index at 314.56 is up 1.71. And taking a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, off 33 points at this hour at 12,652 for the day.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Chuck.
Todd, good afternoon. Good to be here today.
I bet a day like yesterday kind of made you itchy to get in the field, didn't it?
Well, we're getting closer. You know, next week's March, so it's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, it won't take too long. I think in our part of the world, the earliest I've ever heard of corn put in the ground was March the 12th, but those were some awful nice weeks in a few of those years. I guess that'll be kind of an important thing, not the date that they start, but the number of acres that get put into the ground. Let's take that up just a bit later. I want you to deal with the 2 o'clock release of the cattle on feed report for me very quickly. USDA saying on feed now at 97% as of Feb 1, and placed in January at 77 and marketed at 102. The on-feed is within the trade range, and the placed in January is actually within the trade range as well. What'd you make of the numbers?
Well, I think it's kind of long-term supported to the cattle market there. Probably the marketings were down because, you know, the weather's been pretty nasty, so that's probably delayed some cattle getting to market. Placements down towards the lower end or, you know, a little bit low there. And that's probably guys are looking at these higher grain prices and saying, well, we're just not going to maybe put those calves in the feed right now. So longer term, price supporting for the cash crisis of cattle.
Let's turn your attention to the grain market. What's the most often asked topic by producers this week? Are they talking about crop insurance or other things?
Well, no, I think the majority of our clients this week were looking to sell into this rally, whether it be old crop or new crop, you know, and they've been kind of well-schooled or have learned to, you know, take advantage of the up days. We were kind of in a nice sideways market there in corn for quite a while, and they like this bump up here to do some more selling.
And so, and you advise them to go ahead and do that on both corn and soybeans, new crop and old?
Yeah, you know, we're getting up here, we cleared at $4 area, and guys are definitely getting some $4 plus cash bids for their corn, and the beans are in new crop at least well over $8, so those were good numbers. And then we're trying again to be flexible. If you're going to go and make those sales, and we like trying to buy some call options. And on new crop, we did buy some puts for guys who had felt they sold enough cash at this point in time.
What's your next step then in the marketplace?
Watching this report or the USDA conference coming out here and in the acreages, as we, you know, push this market higher, you know, it looks like a breakout that started last Friday in the corn and bean market. And so we want to reward it. We keep going higher. And the higher we go, we're probably going to switch more to strategy of put options, Todd, as this thing can get high enough where you can buy a really cheap put and create a very, you know, profitable floor underneath us as producers.
And where are you going to put the strike on that?
We've been looking at some 380 December corn puts. They're currently running 20 cents. If we can push this market up, we might be able to buy those for 12 and 15 cents. It'd be a bargain there, we think. For somebody who wanted to put a little less money in there, a 350 put at 10 cents today, you know, a 340 floor, you just go back to last year or the year before, we would have kind of died for that as farmers, you know. So there's a really reasonable prices we can put nice floors underneath us.
What do you hear about planting in the U.S.? Anything happening in the Deep South yet?
Very limited. You know, we got a big storm coming up through the South that's going to affect us with rain this weekend, and that's kind of slowed things down. Really not much field activity. You know, we talked early in the show, but this weather has just kind of put everybody in the, around the country on hold.
And then if you turn your attention to South America, what are you hearing about the Argentine corn crop? Is last year was a short crop, this year going to be a good one?
Yeah, I think everything. There was also a report on their bean crop being one of the bigger crops they've had, and so I think they're in pretty decent shape. You know, a little bit of struggle there, but I think, again, it's all in all going to be a pretty decent crop coming out of those guys. And Brazil's kind of been slow on harvesting their beans with some wet weather, but it looks like that may straighten out and let them get going.
And they'll get started. And once they get heavily into the bean market or into the bean harvest, do you think the market will come under pressure from them?
Yeah, it's been our view, and I think if you look at the structure that we will come under some pressure. That's why like the March futures of 07 are only 778 or 780, and the excitement and interest seems to be out there. You know, we got November at 830. Well, the market's just saying we got plenty right now, and then they're just wondering on how low those acres and planted acres and what kind of yield we're going to have, and that's supporting the back end.
Anything else that we need to talk about before I let you go for the day?
No, I think we can't be too discouraged by today's down day. You know, if you look at the week as a whole, as you always do, we're to well up for the week.
And we appreciate it, and we look forward to your trip over here this afternoon for Commodity Week. We, of course, record that at 4:30 in the afternoon. We'll take up some of these trades in that program. Drive safe, and don't go too fast, okay?
Yep, we got a nice day for a drive, so we'll see you after a while, Todd.
All right, thanks much. Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Of course, he's making the drive over here this afternoon to record Commodity Week with us. You can always pick that up off our website at WILLAG.org at about 6 o'clock on Friday evenings. It doesn't air on the radio station, actually, until 11:30 a.m. Central Time on Saturdays. WILLAG.org, a place to get a lot of what you hear in terms of agricultural programming on the radio station that you can pick up and listen to again, MP3 files and podcasts. You can sign up for our weekend newsletter. And the other thing you can do this week is to get all the details about next Tuesday's AM 580 All Day Ag Outlook meeting. That meeting, of course, scheduled to start at 7:30 a.m. for Central Time for registration, 8:30 a.m. Eastern time zone all day long. We'll have our analyst in. Dan Bossi will be in to highlight the ethanol industry. If you have not heard Dan talk about ethanol anyplace else, this is a great chance to come in and listen to what he has to say about this industry. Dave Dickey and I heard him at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention and the NAMA Convention in Kansas City in November, decided we really needed to have him come in and talk about that at the All Day Ag Outlook meeting. I think it will be worth your trip one way or the other to see him, along with all the analysts who will be talking about the corn and the soybean and the wheat and the cattle and the hog markets. And one other note there, that you'll be able to hear from Gary Schnitke, ag economist at the University of Illinois. Gary always very popular when he comes up and discusses how he sees the crop insurance programs for the coming year. Of course, those decisions have to be made by March the 15th. We'll be just a couple of days away by then from getting a final number for those crop insurance programs. But I'm sure that Gary will have enough information. He should be able to guide you in his thoughts on what kinds of crop insurance might be available and whether you should take some revenue assurance programs or not. I'm sure that will be the case. It all happens next Tuesday at the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. We hope to see you there at 7:30 Central for your registration, 8:30 in the Eastern Time Zone.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
At the bottom there, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. He'll be one of the folks that's on hand, by the way, next Tuesday with us over at the All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, along with our own Ed Kieser and Jay Searles. Forecast, by the way, from the state of Illinois, or rather from the WILL radio stations for the states of Illinois and Indiana, say a winter storm watch is in effect for northern Illinois and far northwestern Indiana from Saturday morning right on through Sunday evening, and winter storm watch is in effect for the rest of northern Indiana from Saturday evening through Sunday morning. And tonight, he says, in northwestern and north central Illinois, cloudy, some wet snow, sleet, freezing rain arriving overnight. In west central Illinois, cloudy with rain arriving late. Dave Dickey's here now with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, congressional hearings have been scheduled for next week to hear testimony from a key Energy Administration official on alternative fuels. U.S. lawmakers are likely to press Energy Department Statistical Agency head Guy Caruso on whether the administration's plan to boost production of alternative fuels to 35 billion gallons by 2017 is too ambitious. Meanwhile, President Bush told an energy panel yesterday in North Carolina that a breakthrough in cellulosic ethanol is key to keeping cattle and hog producers from feeling the pinch in rising feed corn prices. Bush says his 35 billion gallon alternative fuel goal by 2017 breaks down like this: 20 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol production and 15 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol. The American Corn Growers Association has filed a federal antitrust lawsuit against Monsanto. The suit, filed in the U.S. Court for the District of Delaware, claims that Monsanto has monopolized and restrained competition of products containing glyphosate, a key ingredient in Roundup herbicide. The suit calls for Monsanto to stop what it calls anti-competitive practices. Two members of the Senate Agriculture Committee are vowing to fight USDA's Farm Bill proposal that would cut farm subsidies by $18 billion over 5 years. Blanche Lincoln, a Democrat from Arkansas, and Saxby Chambliss, a Republican from Georgia, say that crops grown in the South cost more to produce than other commodities. Lincoln says the U.S. needs to deal with trade issues with foreign countries before cutting subsidies to farmers. Meanwhile, Chambliss misspoke this week before an audience in Little Rock. Chambliss, who opposes USDA's plan to end subsidies to producers with adjusted gross incomes over $200,000, said, and this is a direct quote, "$200,000 in adjusted gross income means once you get to that point, then you've got to pay for that $250,000 combine, that $100,000 tractor. However, a farmer's AIG is the amount of money remaining after all farm bills are paid, including the purchase of equipment, inputs, and depreciation. U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson will be traveling to China, Japan, and South Korea early next month for talks centering on financial and economic issues. Sources say that Paulson is also likely to bring up trade problems involving agricultural products, especially the continuing difficulties of shipping beef to Japan and South Korea. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, inviting you to our all-day Ag Outlook meeting. Starts at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern, next Tuesday morning at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Well, up next, $8 soybeans have been a reality in the countryside during the month of February. You know as well as I do that this higher price has come mostly in sympathy with the move up in the corn market. You also know that University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Daryl Goods says the supply and demand tables don't support that $8 bean level. What you haven't heard is how long he likely thinks $8 beans will stick around. We'll find out more in a moment. Eventually, U of I Ag economist Daryl Goods says the market will have to own up to the actual projected supply of soybeans in the United States. It is, and will likely continue to be big. That's when the market will go down. Given that, he says the time hasn't yet come.
In spite of my thinking in terms of we're not going to have a shortage, that we're going to continue to look at a surplus of soybeans, I think prices will continue to work a bit higher in front of the March 30th acreage report. I personally would want to be fairly aggressive, I think, in front of that report, making some additional sales of old crop and new crop. What's the right amount? There's really no right answer to that. It depends a lot on what producers have already done, how much of the crop they still own, what kind of insurance product they've got in place, those kind of things. But I think maybe being a little more aggressive on soybeans than corn pre-report is the kind of the way I would be leaning at this point.
So, Daryl Good says farmers, despite their nearly always bullish enthusiasm for the soybean market, should pull the trigger on additional old crop and new crop sales prior to the March 31 USDA planting intentions report. He says the price of beans has stayed high in part because the outside investment community continues to buy into the futures market. He says it is also the reason there are too many soybeans in the world today.
We saw a significant increase in soybean acreage and a decrease in corn acres in 2006. When you looked at what was unfolding in terms of potential demand for corn and the size of our surplus of soybeans, we really needed to see more corn and fewer soybean acres last year, but the market signaled just the opposite. And I attribute that to what I call the non-traditional traders in the market. I think soybean prices just stayed too strong relative to corn last spring, even winter into the spring, and signaled to farmers that we needed more beans when we needed the other signal.
This year, Daryl Good thinks the market is giving farmers the correct signal for how many acres of each crop to plant. That signal, $8 beans and $4 corn, is to plant more corn. So while Good says the market is correctly telling farmers to plant more corn acres, he thinks it is incorrectly telling them that a shortage of soybeans is on the horizon. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
It's a Friday afternoon, and we're now joined by Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Tell me about movement in the past week with these new contract highs.
We continue to see scale-up selling into it. Maybe a little bit more new crop into the mix than old crop as we've kind of eaten through the old crop bushels that are out there. Bushels trying to move off a farm if we can get through between muddy lots, soft roads and snowstorms, getting it in here will be interesting. Quite a bit of corn that really needs to move off the bins. There's a lot of moisture still coming in our inbound receipts, surprising. And that's not going to take a warm-up real well this spring.
How wet are they?
17 to 18% moisture on some of the loads coming in. So there is still some pretty damp corn.
Tell me, as you get out into the late summer, and I don't want you to predict price exactly, but because we have so much of the old crop already in the hands of elevators or end users, is there a great potential for a big spike in that market, even under normal growing conditions?
I would say that the futures play and the cash play are kind of divorced from each other. Right now, if you need to generate actual cash bushels, the futures market doesn't have to do it. So much inventory has transferred to the to hedged inventory that a small basis pop will generate cash movements. And all the elevators, we're lugging such huge hedge positions right now, and every day seeing such big margin calls. The challenge is not to sell corn the challenge is to hang on to corn, to not sell it and take advantage of that carry just from a cash flow standpoint.
And so that puts you in a unique situation. I would think that would be, on your books at least, it doesn't look that great.
Yeah, it's unusual. You're sitting here and you've got a cash market that tells you to carry corn, and you do carry corn that you can, as much as you can, but it is not a slam dunk. It's not as profitable as it looks just because the cash flow situation. I mean, we've had people out here 2-3 times have exchanged or have expanded their working capital limits just to take the hedges and carry the inventory. It takes a lot more to carry $4 corn than it does $2 corn, especially if you get a dollar worth of margin calls sunk in it.
Yeah, at what point are you forced, the industry in general, forced to go ahead and take the plunge and make the sales then?
Oh, that's pretty much of a case-by-case basis, depending on what your working capital situation is.
But it
does generate some ongoing selling into it, and it moderates on how much you can carry the inventories.
I was at the Grain and Feed Association last week, and I did not hear this conversation taken up. But is it talked about much among the grain elevator operators, and what kind of problems does it create for you other than cash flow?
Basically, it's just a cash flow situation is the biggest thing. You're having to stay in very close contact with your lenders out here.
I could imagine they really want to know a lot of the time, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of more communication than on a dead nothing happening $2 a bushel year.
All right. And then as you take a look further out, let's get back to what your expectations are between now and March 30th for the acreage report. Will farmers finish out their marketings, do you think, of the old crop corn? And are they willing to do beans at all?
The bean movement has still been relatively light. Beans are harder to get your arms around. Beans, the only thing basically bullish about the bean market is the corn market. And as prices go up on soybeans and we hold off, the more time we spend not moving beans nearby, the more beans, the more burdensome we have beans to move before the end of the year or to carry over. Right now there's carries that would suggest that your best slot to move beans are in the harvest period, and really I don't think the market wants this year's crop and next year's crop both to come in September, October.
What are your bids for the day?
We are at 418 on nearby corn and 395 on new crop. Beans, 750 and 805.
We appreciate it much.
Thank you.
That is Bruce Bossert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Friday afternoon. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with Steve Hilberg about the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Illinois basketball player Jamar Smith pleaded not guilty while making his first appearance in court this morning. The 19-year-old sophomore is arraigned on felony charges of driving under the influence and leaving the scene of an accident. Those charges stem from the February 12th car crash that injured teammate Brian Carlwell, who suffered a severe concussion. If he's found guilty of the DUI charge, Smith would face a sentence ranging from probation to 12 years in prison. The second charge carries a sentence of probation to 5 years. Smith's next court appearance is April 5th for a pretrial hearing. A May 1st sentencing is scheduled for a 28-year-old man charged in a fatal boating accident 2 years ago on Clinton Lake. Byron Thompson of Bloomington pleaded guilty yesterday to reckless homicide, aggravated reckless operation of a watercraft, and failure to render assistance. That accident killed an 82-year-old man from Farmer City. The most outspoken voice against Chief Illiniwek in the Illinois legislature says the U of I did the right thing to retire the symbol. Senate President Emil Jones has tied university funding to the presence of the chief in the past. Today, he said the retirement decision was proper and the Board of Trustees is the right place to determine other issues like the Chief Illiniwek trademark. The Illinois Supreme Court says two former Chicago aldermen who are ex-cons should not be eligible to run in Tuesday's city election to try to get their old jobs back. The state's high court says Ambrosio Medrano and Virgil Jones should be removed from the ballot. If they can't be done, that can't be done, then any votes cast for them on election day should be disregarded. The court sent the case back to a lower court, ordering it to abandon a decision from the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners that let the two remain on the ballot, even though state law bars convicted felons from holding municipal office. Medrano and Jones were snared in the federal government's Operation Silver Shovel investigation in the 90s. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell says troops should begin to leave Iraq if they can't quell what he characterized as a civil war within a year. Powell told an audience at Purdue University last night that he hopes Iraqis will seize the opportunity that the U.S. has given them. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. We're joined by Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We've got some warnings and watches and such out. Tell me what we're under at the moment and when they come on and expire.
Well, there's going to it's quite a mix of things, and probably don't have enough time to go through everything, but basically we're looking at a fairly major storm coming through the Midwest this weekend. It'll affect the northern Midwest, basically Iowa, northern Illinois, on northward with a mix of winter weather and strong winds, so expect considerable travel problems up that way. Further south, we're looking for a lot of rain. I know they've just issued some flood watches now for parts of central Illinois and southern Illinois. We've actually had a lot of precip this winter in general. It's a little dry up north yet, but that could be rectified this weekend. But with the cold weather we had earlier in February and no snow cover, the ground froze fairly deep. Then we had snow cover, so we've got a lot of water on the surface. We've got frozen ground and potential heavy rain. So I'll look for a big mess this weekend, just to sum it up in one word.
Does it
Potential flooding problems in a lot of areas.
Does it clear up by the time we get to Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, it looks like things will calm down by the time we have to travel over to the Ag Outlook meeting. Things should be fairly tranquil. Could be a few flurries in the air that day, but nothing that'll hold anything up.
That's what I was
looking
for.
And it looks like once we get past this weekend, it'll be quiet until next weekend when we could be dealing with another fairly strong storm system.
And so the hardest hit areas are from I-80 north, potentially?
Yeah, that's probably a good way to draw the line. As far as the winter weather concerned, yeah, that's going to be probably the areas to be most concerned with in terms of travel and winter weather.
Yeah, and how much snowfall are they looking at?
Well, I've heard, and I haven't had a chance to look at things very closely today, but I've heard up to a foot in parts of Wisconsin and probably across into Minnesota. A lot of it will depend on exactly where the track of the low is, and the last few months have been bringing it a little bit further south. But some of that heavy snow could get into northern Illinois as well.
And then a rainfall event here, how heavy?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised to see an inch or more in parts of central Illinois and even further south where they could get some heavier thunderstorms. And on top of the snowpack and everything, that should create quite a mess.
Yeah, anything else before I let you go for the day?
No, just keep in mind that normal precip for February is probably around 2 inches in most of the state. And that's the average. So we're already well over that, and this will add to it.
All right. Thanks much, Steve. We'll
okay,
talk to you Tuesday next week. Steve Hilberg is at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, where he's the director, and the Illinois State Water Survey there, too, right here in Champaign County. He will join Ed Kieser, chief meteorologist from the radio station, on stage at our All-Day Ag Outlook meeting. That happens next Tuesday at the Beef House, just off Exit 4 inside the Illinois-Indiana border in Indiana. Covington is the exit. If you get the opportunity, come on over and see us. Starts at 7:30 for registration Central Time, 8:30 a.m. if you're in the Eastern Time Zone. Should be a great day. We hope to see you there. Talk to you tomorrow for Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.